You are listening to T-Mac and Cookie Monster on the Radiant Culture Podcast. Engaging and exciting conversation on life, God, and pop culture. Every week on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to the Radiant Culture Podcast. My name is T-Mac.
And I'm Cookie Monster. It's good to be here. Hope everyone is doing good.
Oh my gosh, I wanted to tell you something funny that happened. Okay, not really funny, but I didn't know that my dad knew about the podcast. So we had family dinner on Sunday night, and everyone's like supposed to update about what's happening in their lives. And my dad turns to me and he's like, "And you, T-Mac?" And I'm like, what? He's like, "What? I didn't know." I'm like, "What? I'm like, wow." I was like, my brain literally had a spasm. What's going on here?
That's crazy.
Like, yeah, I know. He's like giving me this eye.
That's scary.
I don't know what he's listened to. And I feel like I need to now just put disclaimers on everything. So, yeah.
I think we need to redefine our audience.
Right? Age group. He is like 60 plus. Anyway, today we have two very awesome guests in the building. TJ, you've been with us before. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am awesome. Okay, we've got Zinzi.
Zinzi.
What's up, Zinzi?
In the building.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. So, before we begin, as usual, everyone, well, I'm sure a few people know TJ, but we don't know you. So, just a few things about you, what, who you are, what you do. You don't have to say your age unless you want to. Marital status, you know, those sort of things.
Okay. Well, I'm Zinzi. I'm 28. Although, according to my fitness assessment, my metabolic age is 20.
Wow.
So that's the age that I'm... I'm not sure if the machine was working or if it was broken, but that's the age I'm going. I'm a lawyer. I love God. I'm single and mingling.
Uh-huh.
So if any of you guys out there feel the Holy Spirit saying call and ask, just call the Radiant Culture team. They'll give you my number.
Okay, cool. Wow. here we go.
This is a
no children, no ring.
Big but game. She's got a job and she's very cultured. Yeah.
Yeah.
Round that up real nice.
Yeah, exactly. So no late night texts and like, you know, that weird shorthand.
Like. Yeah, exactly. Oh my goodness. Exactly.
Yeah. You say with the S-Y.
Anyway, so T-Mac, what are we talking about today?
Today, we are talking about the no-go areas when it comes to relationships. So we all know there's bro code, like you can't date your friend's ex, or I'm sure girls have a girl code, but we don't call it that. I think it's just common decency in some cases. Actually, that's why I said in some cases.
Y'all don't have a code. Oh.
And then things like adultery. And cheating. If cheating happens in a Christian relationship, should you then leave the person, or
right,
should y'all work it out? What? In a marriage, no ring, fair game. If a chick or a guy has no ring, does that mean he's fair game or she's fair game? So that's what we're going to be talking about today.
All right, cool. So why do we have these guys as guests today? Because I'm just wondering, are they like experts or something?
You know, I don't know.
I got a PhD in the bro code.
And yeah, that's funny because they both ain't got no rings. But,
right.
Well, we wanted a balanced discussion, so it was important to have a male and a female.
Okay.
Who have very well thought out opinions on these topics. So, yeah.
All right, cool. So, there you go. So, we're going to get straight into it. I think what I want to know first, right, is I remember when I was in youth, you know, we used to learn a lot about relationships and how, you know, as a man, you should grow up to be a godly man, and a woman should be a godly woman. You know, there was a lot of talk about that, you know, how to be pure, and even the whole thing about dating. I remember dating was kind of frowned upon a lot, right? Because you had to court and stuff. But people still dated anyway, right? But now I find that as people grow older, you know, a lot of people have dated several people. And, you know, and yeah. So, and it brings us to where we are today, right? So maybe to kick off the discussion, the first thing I'd want to ask, guys, is J'ai guy codes. I need it. Or code, any form of code. I need it. Because, listen, by the time you hit 30, you've probably dated.
Options are few.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I'm saying you've probably been in a few relationships, even as a Christian, mm-hmm. right? You've dated two or three people or more. Others are like, yeah, they just.
50.
Yeah, I go. Right? And the reality is that sometimes the options are beginning to grow thin. Right? So the question is this, guys. If your friend has dated someone before, right? Talk my 30, guys.
I love how you emphasize that point.
Does code still apply? Or is this just like a high school concept? Maybe that's the first question I want to ask.
Maybe that code did not even apply in high school, bruh.
I should have, though.
I should have,
high
but
school
I
is where
like...
it should really have been strong.
People dated my exes. I dated people's
like exes.
Friend. Yeah, like... Okay, I was not the most innocent high schooler. There's actually a clique of guys I dated, like, three in the same clique. So I don't know where the code was at when that was happening.
In my experience, I don't think girls ever could.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, girls don't mind dating each other's exes from, like, what I've seen and experienced.
Is this correct?
I think they do mind. You just don't see the fight that's happening, the cold war that's happening.
But y'all do it, like, so
often. And then you
often,
see the clique is now broken up. Maybe you don't notice, but the clique is now broken up. And then, there's a tension.
Okay. But what I'm saying is, it's not like a thing that will stop you. You'd be like, I'm going to take the beef and get the guy. For girls. For guys, they're like, to even get into that space where you're going to think of, I'm going to date my friend's ex. It's like...
But aren't you guys have levels of girls,
of ex,
so to speak? Yeah, like, they could be that ex who he dated for 3 years and they almost got married. Obviously, she's kind of like a no-go area. Maybe. Then there's that one Adam who he just hit it off with one time and then it was like... Really?
That's guy code.
Guys, if they had one drink and it didn't even...
That's guy code.
No, that is absolutely insane.
That's guy code.
That's insane, though. But also, guys are constantly breaking the code. Then.
Yeah.
Because there's some
so
other guys...
So is it really a code?
Who, no. This is a sad reality, but there's other guys who, like, intentionally then go discuss, guys, who are we going after next? Who's going first? That's your crew that will break the rule, but they're in agreement and they know what they're doing.
Okay, I get it.
Okay.
I know of a couple of situations where it's like an ex-girlfriend of one guy in the crew and it's now the wife of the other guy in the crew.
That's messy.
So let's not be like, it's just guys that are hunting in a pack. No.
It happens,
there are
I know,
people
but...
who break the bro code.
Yeah, it happens.
So is it really a cult?
I don't believe in packs.
Oh, you're in hunting in a pack.
That guy from Angola.
How do you even go to that wedding?
How do you...
Okay, but seriously, guys. So are we saying here, honestly speaking, are we saying that if my friend dates a girl, right?
Mm.
3-4 years. In fact, maybe... Okay, let's just say 3-4 years down the line.
Mm-hmm.
This girl... It's like, hey, we're clicking, we're hitting it off, right? I'm thinking this is someone I actually want to be with. Then what? I should chill because my friend dated her. Yeah, he's moved on with his life.
Married, mm-hmm. maybe.
Okay.
Exactly. Let's talk about that.
Like,
if
listen.
He's now married to someone else, is his ex-girlfriend still off bounds?
Okay.
Doesn't even
the
make
problem
sense.
Is not merely in like people's feelings at first. Because what happens is you all are still going to have to be friends, right? That's what you want, like an ideal situation where my homie dates my ex and we're still friends, we get to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if they have problems, what's going to happen? Like there's always that gray area where because something happened before and we're now always constantly like the same space because we're homies, like we're tight homies.
Mm-hmm.
Something just might happen. There's always that risk that something just might happen.
Something like what, bro? What are you trying to say?
Okay.
Something
I'm
like
trying
what?
To say, like, say they're having problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's she gonna go to?
Her girlfriends.
Nope.
Who's it she depends
go
on the
girls
reason
like
why
talking
she
to
broke
guys.
Up with her ex, though.
Huh?
Because if you broke up with this dude because, I don't know, he cheated on you and he was really terrible to you and blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
You're not gonna. That's not your comfort place.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay. You know what? guys. Here's what I really want, and I don't want to speak for the ladies because I don't really understand how everything operates in that world, right? Because I know it's a whole nother world. But what I want to understand, ladies, and you can help us here, is you are in church, Andini. You're in church, and you've dated so and so at some point, maybe 2 years ago. And then it then just so happens that T-Mac, this dude, right? So let's say Zinzi dated this guy 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then now T-Mac, you meet this guy, you guys just start, you get along. Then you realize that, you know what? This dude, guy, I think he's the one. So are you saying, yeah, that because your friend dated him before, that's a deal breaker altogether?
There's several things that one would consider. Uh-huh. My closeness with Zinzi, first of all. Mm-hmm. If she's just like a girl who I kind of know, not really that close with, maybe I'd consider it. Maybe. Second thing is the reason why they broke up, like what she said. Uh-huh. If he was foul to her and he just treated her like the scum of the earth, but now he's nice and he's changed or whatever, I would still have a problem going down that road with him because of what he did to my friend.
Right.
Even, yeah, there's forgiveness, sure.
But who breaks up nicely, guys?
These amicable breakups.
There's amicable breakups.
So if those, like, if she's not that close to me and if the breakup was okay, maybe I'd consider it. But if those two things were off, then I'd probably just be like, it's okay, let this cup pass. I'll find somebody else.
So even if it's the one.
How will I be knowing that he's the one?
How did you get to that stage?
Remember, yeah, exactly. Like, that's the thing. For it to get to a certain stage, it means don't entertain amunu. So, if I already know his history with Zinzi, it's most likely that I will already have created a distance between me and this person. So, chances of it getting to that stage are slim.
Okay.
I don't know if she would like to.
Yeah.
Do you share the same sentiment?
I think
sentiment?
That's true. It's also about knowing your girlfriends, because some girls are not territorial about their exes.
Yeah, true.
Some of them is too many for them to be territorial. Some girls are not territorial about their exes, so it's okay. You have to know your friend.
Okay.
Your friend might be cool with them. I don't think we can really. Is there a cult?
So nah. It won't.
I mean, it's an unspoken thing that generally the rule is don't date your friend's ex, but there's exceptions.
Yeah.
Those exceptions. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I just, I had a meeting with a pastor friend. She's like a pastor, big sister friend, last week. And I remember we were talking about relationships. But the one thing that she said, she's like, what I find interesting, right? She was talking about a group of young girls that she was like mentoring and stuff. And she said, she actually asked that question that if one of you dates a guy, right, and then one of you then discovers that, you know what, actually this is the man that God has called me to be with.
Mm-hmm.
And did you? Yes, I know I've used a very Christianese.
As soon as you bring God into the thing.
But what I'm saying anyway, is that if this is the guy,
mm-hmm,
are you gonna call it quits just because your girlfriend dated him? And so she was like, that's rubbish. Because at the end of the day, purpose prevails over all this other nonsense. So if this is the dude you want to be with, go be with the dude. What's the point of trying to protect whatever code you have and miss the rest of your life with this amazing person?
Okay.
Firstly, I really side-eye. I mean, people hear God on a lot of different things. I side-eye someone who says, God has called me to be with this person. Because sometimes people confuse their emotions with God, especially in those situations. And now, you've broken up this whole friendship, and then you realize, actually, it was just my hormones. Like, perhaps take a back seat. Fine. Just take some time to really figure out what you're talking. Like, this needs to be like a sort of 3-year plan. If he's still in your purpose 3 years down the line, then we'll take it.
when you're 30, but, when you're 30, you don't have 3 years.
And another thing.
Jesus had 3 years when he was 30.
But he left and after those 3 years. You're not
he
leaving.
Had a different yeah. mission. But like
and you're not different.
But guys, like there's also another thing. You know, like the Bible says prefer one another.
Right.
So if your friend minds, you have to prefer your friend. Like if it says prefer one another on issues like food, like I don't eat onions, mm. right? And then it says not to offend me. If you come to my space, mm. don't eat onions, prefer me. Mm. So what more in this case where it's like something this huge?
Prefer me, I want this guy. Prefer me and get over your emotions.
No.
That's a good point.
Wait. See, the thing is, in that situation, you're the one with the decision. So you have to prefer your friend. Because your friend says, he doesn't mind, right? But you're the one who's going to do the action.
I don't know, man. I just, you know what, guys? Listen.
I think your main issue is that options are few at that stage.
But maybe, okay, maybe they're not. Let me not speak for people.
For guys.
All I'm saying is that I think past a certain age, these things shouldn't matter. Honestly, right? Honestly. Past a certain age, guys.
Okay, wait, let me ask you the same thing. Uh-huh. If it was you in that situation and you like a girl who your relative has dated, does that change it?
My relative?
Yeah.
I'll go to my relative and say, "Sha, dude, here's the deal. Panabala, this woman here, she's the one." Mm-hmm. So, here's what we're
going
to do.
Your cousin had already done my introductions. Now, the whole family now knows her, and then it didn't work out. Now you want to come around with the same girl and be like, oh, no, it doesn't work. It didn't work out with cousin Tao, but I'm going to try.
No. I still think, I guess I've got a more practical approach to life, maybe, right? And I'm not saying you guys don't, but I'm just saying that if that happened, then, and I really... I'm convinced that this is the woman that I want to be with. Mm. I would have to find a way to get around that. Because I think that ultimately, all these other things are just window dressing, honestly. They're just formalities that have to happen. At the end of the day, people will forget. When we're married and we're living and we're doing our thing, people will forget. Yes, they'll be like, hey, azo torakazi. But you know what? Whatever.
People don't forget, bruh.
I think if you're cool with that,
it happened in my family.
Have you ever forgotten an ex?
Have I forgotten an ex?
Yes.
please. Well, my situation is different because
I have memory loss.
Oh, yeah, true.
You
still remember them, Cookie Monster. Check.
No, but the point is, I do remember all my exes, obviously.
See?
But it's how I remember them that matters. So what I'm saying is, like, if one of my friends, for example, today, wanted to date one of my exes, I'm actually cool with that. Honestly, I'm cool with it. I'm like, you know what? We broke up for a reason. And if this is the woman for you, then why should I stop you?
It's always going to be awkward, guys. Like, I've seen this happen. Like, I have, like, a cousin who did that. Like, the other cousin took the other guy's girlfriend and married her. Mm-hmm. But it didn't work. Mm-hmm. I promise you, like... It's one of the most awkward situations because, like you were saying, you won't mind, right? But your friend at some point will start seeing stuff. So, like, your family, right? One time she's talking to you and, like, come something just like she gets over friendly one time or whatever. What's that going to do to him? Like,
I think you're making your
world
too small, bro.
No, I'm just saying. You gave the example, the analogy of, like, it's in the same family. So I'm saying it, like...
That's very intriguing.
Okay, so as church folk, what do we do?
I think one thing that, how we were saying, it depends on, another thing that it also depends on is how the relationship might have been conducted as well. Mm-hmm. So for you, for example, I happen to have some inside information about you. But I know you've, most likely, let me just assume that you've conducted your relationships.
Don't touch me.
like that. Ain't nobody touching you. Ain't nobody getting in them drawers. You know? So, like, it's not like you're sharing, your friend will be taking away a previous sexual partner. It'll be just like, we dated, yes, but nothing in the physical realm happened, and maybe the most y'all did was hold hands. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think also that also does play a small role in it. Because, say, for example, if these people were intimate and they were having sex, there's a different level of a bond that's there that we can't really ignore. So maybe for Christians, it should be different because maybe you shouldn't be doing those things.
So on that note, what I actually wanted to say is Christians and physical relationships, right? Mm. I think it's tricky because the moment people are together and, you know, you start getting into these physical situations, I think it's very tricky. Excuse me. It's very, very tricky because now things happen and people break up. Yeah, then it then really gets complicated. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which is why I also think that as Christians, we should be careful.
You mean use a condom?
You have to be specific.
Okay, okay.
To tell a child to finish. Eh?
Okay. I actually think that we should stay away.
Man, I just thought of the fact that my dad might be.
Whoa. Too late now.
Snap. Snap. You already said condom, so
yeah.
So
your next meeting is going to be interesting.
Yeah. On Sunday this is gonna come up.
So to the podcast.
So I just think that, guys, you know what? The truth is this. Yes, there's the whole purity side of things, right? Which is that we just need to really watch ourselves, because the Bible actually does, you know, talk about fornication and all those things. But I also think from a social relational point of view, if each time you are in a relationship with someone, that relationship becomes physical, huh? Then all you're doing is complicating everyone's life further. That,
what do you mean?
Because by the time you leave, guys, and you've been physical, whether you've done first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth base, whatever. And the point is, if you sleep with someone, right, and you break up with them, mm-hmm. right, it's just tricky. Because now, guys, listen, I don't know how to say this. It's just complicated.
Do you mean if they go to the same church as you or what?
No, for starters, right, imagine that. You know, I'm a worship leader, auntie.
Mm-hmm.
And so imagine, like, I sleep with someone.
And then I'm like,
leading worship there, and she's just like chilling there. But
even my worship leader.
Even if we broke up, right?
My worship leaders.
My worship leader.
There are levels of Christians, and certain levels are desensitized to all of that. Like, so what? I slept with her, but this is the part where I'm a worship leader. I'm not naked right now, so.
But did you guys come on? Don't
we all know this though?
Yeah,
we all know that
you hear the scandal.
Yeah, it's there.
And where we can all profess to love God, but we don't necessarily hold the things.
The pastor knows the scandals. So all I'm saying, right, is that whatever you do in your relationship, unfortunately, will affect everything else that happens after. So, whereas if you've been in a relationship with someone, there were no physical ones there, you break up with them, and I'm speaking from experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where I've got like exes that I'm cool with, right?
We know this.
But part of the reason is that there was no funny ones in the relationship.
Yeah, inky pinky.
Yeah, no hanky panky. So all I'm just saying, guys, right, is that hanky panky here also then messes up what we're talking about right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because for you to now see, for you to now be comfortable with your friend dating your ex, you see what
it's
I'm
saying? It's a little bit awkward. Also, when you start thinking like you're with your man and he once dated your friend, and then she comes around and you think, oh, he's seen her naked, and I know her body's dope. So it's a little bit, I don't know how people handle all of that, but
exactly,
because I'm usually the hottest person in the room, so
nice one.
But there I just want to go back to like, okay, as Christians, how do we handle the situation? Like, let's say, fine, God has told you, we've eliminated that as hormones, you're sure, like, this is it.
Mm.
You have done the Bible check, you've, you know, done the fleecing, you've done everything.
Uh-huh. Mm.
You have identified that this is the man for you, but he's with your friend.
He's still with her.
With.
Oh, he's your friend's ex. Sorry.
Yeah.
But he's not with you.
Well, I guess that's no ring for a game. But yeah.
I think the Bible is very clear that if you pray for wisdom, God will not withhold it from you.
Right. Yeah.
Just ask him, how should I handle this?
I like that.
You need God will tell you, auntie, he's told you that this is the man for you. Ask him, how should I handle this? And I'm sure he will give you an answer that will take eternity into account, but also take, you know, your friend's feelings. He also loves your friend.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's the way to handle it.
In the case of, like, what you were saying, if they've been intimate, he's probably not going to ask you to do that, because the Bible says, if you sleep with a virgin, you must marry her. That's the commandment. If you don't, you're wrong. What do you mean? What do you mean?
Are you saying today? Mm. No, but that's Old Testament stuff, right?
That's the thing. Like,
So are you saying,
Jesus
guys,
said, I did not come to abolish it.
I came to fulfill it. Yeah, what does it mean to fulfill? But anyway, let's not get into a theological.
So you're saying that because she slept with this dude,
that she
God
must
doesn't
marry
care about her feelings anymore? I think let's talk about God's character for a bit.
I'm saying, like, of course, God still cares about your feelings. That's
he's
why
going to be like, go snatch the dude because I know they slept together, so I don't even care.
No, what I'm saying is this. If they've slept together, right, God cares about you.
And he stopped caring about them?
No, it's not about he stopped caring about them. He cares about the both of you. The best decision in that situation, like we're saying, in a situation where they've been intimate, for you to actually make something work is going to be a mission.
Not impossible.
But we've gotten to the
point. It's not impossible, but it's going to be a mission.
God once told someone to marry a prostitute. Like, God isn't like, ooh,
one
only marry people that
are
pure.
Like, that was like, out of the whole Bible we've read, that was like one example, but and there was a reason for it. Maybe it
God,
might happen.
God tells us to marry each other, be fruitful and multiply. We're all sinners.
Yeah, yes,
so,
that's true.
So I mean, I don't think there's a hierarchy.
There's a bit of a complication. Sorry for stepping in, but if you read in Matthew 5, I think it's about verse 30 or verse 32. Where Jesus is talking about adultery and about divorce. And he says that a man should not divorce his wife unless it's for sexual immorality, right? And he says whoever marries that woman commits
guilty of adultery.
So aren't you in the same line of that context guilty of adultery if you date that person that had sex with your friend, your ex's friend?
No.
If they were intimate.
That person was adulterous. Because I'm now their husband. I'm now
the
wife.
But God says whoever marries that person
commits adultery.
Commits adultery.
So the dude that's going to marry you is going to be committing adultery.
The whole world is full of adulterers then.
Exactly.
Then no one should be marrying anybody.
Let's not get married then.
Nope.
Because the reality is this. Right.
That's what the scripture says.
I think we're twisting it.
It's there.
I think we're adding something that's actually not there here. It says this is for people who are married.
Whoa.
No, but it's about sexual immorality, which God.
Because my version says. Let me go because I've read that verse very recently.
Okay, what does yours say?
But anyway.
95:32.
Me and T Mac don't have Bible, so we're just going
to try. As usual. 5:32. Oh, no. This is message. Let's not use message.
Yeah. Hiwa, message in this, okay?
Get out of here with them.
We'll use all of them. Let's use New King James.
All right.
But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever remarries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Right?
Yes.
So you're saying that you can be divorced, you can divorce someone for sexual immorality that they committed before you got married.
No. I'm saying if Jesus was saying don't divorce for any reason except sexual immorality, it shows you how he views sexual immorality. It's like the most dirty thing that he'll allow you to divorce. right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you have had sex before marriage, that's sexual immorality.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't say don't marry people that have committed sexual immorality. You said don't divorce for any reason other than sexual immorality, which means Jesus assumed that this sexual immorality happened after you were married.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
You're now, correct. The thing is...
Then he said that once you've divorced this person for sexual immorality, they must stay single forever. That's their punishment for life.
No, no, no.
No.
Isn't it saying that if they were divorced for any other reason that is not sexual immorality, they must remain single?
No.
Because he's saying if you divorce for sexual immorality, it's okay. You have a basis for the divorce.
But then he then says whoever marries a divorced woman, whether by sexual immorality or not,
commits adultery.
Okay, but the previous verse is a precursor. Guy. It means if she was divorced on grounds that weren't for sexual immorality, she can't get married because the person won't be marrying an adulteress.
No, but if we go back to verse 31, it says, it is also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. But
I say to you, so he's talking about both cases.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you guys saying here?
Marriage is
in plain English.
Okay. So what I got from this is what he's saying is the first thing is divorce is only allowed when there's sexual immorality.
Uh-huh, I got that.
If there's divorce for any other reason, it's now the man committing adultery if he goes and then does something else. But with the woman, if she ever gets married after she's divorced, the dude who's marrying her is committing adultery.
So my question is, how does this apply to our discussion?
Let me bring it there. See, what he says, remember that thing I was saying where he says, if you sleep with someone, you must marry her. Like, look, if you get married to someone on paper and you don't consummate the marriage, even the marriage is called null, right? You haven't done anything.
Exactly.
You're not married. So the actual act of marrying someone is consummated by the sex, right? So when you actually have sex with someone, you are actually supposed to marry her. Actually, that's what the Bible says.
The only other condition you can marry a divorced or someone who was married before is if that person dies.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's
then
the only other.
You can marry a
person. So, my question.
So, in this
is my question. This is for our listeners out there. If someone has been in a relationship, right, and they slept with someone, and then the relationship ended, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Does that mean their life is over? Does that mean that they are no longer worthy to be married by anyone? If it's a dude who had sex with someone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now they don't want to be with that person, or they discovered that the thing is not going to work for whatever reason. Does that mean that they're no longer allowed to even think of marrying anybody else?
That's our question.
The Lord will redeem them, can keep moving.
Okay, so there's levels to this. The first one is, I'll tell you what the law says, right? The first one, the law says, whatever reason, if it's not sexual immorality, is not acceptable to God to put what he has put together asunder, right? So you're going to be in sin, right? You're going to be in sin. But it says, if you happened to have committed the sin, like there were others who had committed this sin before they became born again, right? When you come to Christ, he washes all that away, and he makes you a new person.
What if you're in church? Yeah,
if you're in church, if you're in church, you cannot commit this sin and say, okay, because God is going to shower grace on me, I'm just going to do it. Paul says, people like that are not why we were given freedom. Because people were actually making these arguments saying, so I can then finally, the law doesn't apply. Like all these things that Jesus is saying doesn't apply if he says he's going to give me grace. And Paul says, if you actually think like that, you may not
what
actually
if it's a mistake,
be
saved.
Actually,
what
Paul
if it's
actually
a mistake?
Says, expel the immoral brother.
Okay, here's what I'm asking. Maybe I'm not making myself clear. What I'm saying is, what if it's... Yes, there's people who are immoral and who are unrepentant.
Yes.
I get that. People who are just like, you know what, I'm going to church, I want to find money, and they do all kinds of things. But I'm talking about people who are in a relationship, right? And they're just struggling with their purity because they're attracted to each other, right?
Mm.
And they've made some poor decisions. Maybe they're spending too much time together and things happen.
Mm.
Those are the people I'm talking about,
You must expel
them. I think the challenge with this whole thing is that there are three parties involved, right? The one who they slept with and the one who they're getting into the relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have a situation where the one who they're getting into a relationship with doesn't mind. But what about the person they slept with?
The equation.
Yeah. No, as in, I don't mind that you slept with that guy and you broke up. Mm-hmm. I don't mind, we can still have a relationship. Mm-hmm. But does that guy mind?
Does he have a right to mind?
Yeah.
He slept with her. It's now different from just breaking
up. But guys, all right.
2018.
And I just noticed something that we do, even I do this. Mm-hmm. We tend to think that a lot of the times it's about us. It's not. Because really, we could all be cool with it and say, hey, I don't mind that she slept with him and he doesn't mind, we're cool. We can actually chill, but God says, I'm not having that.
One of you is now an adult.
He's like the ultimate beyond what we feel we want or what we're thinking.
I still find a lot of loopholes in this theology, guys. I'm sorry. Because on one end, I'm hearing you guys say, you rate the scripture that says if a man sleeps with a woman, with a virgin, he has to marry her.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at that set of laws, there are many other laws that are there that we don't follow, right? So why are we nitpicking?
If a woman was caught in an adulterous act, we're supposed to stone her. No one's stoning anyone these days.
No,
there's laws like if a woman is having periods, right? She's supposed to be out of the camp for 7 days. There's all of these things.
I get what you're saying, which is why we moved away from that one and started dissecting the whole immorality one.
Okay.
Yes.
So I just think
I'm also looking at the fact that there are three parties here involved, right? And don't underestimate sexual relations. Right, there's a bond created there.
Right.
Right. So, if this guy has a problem with you sleeping with his ex because he slept with her, they created a bond. You just can't break that bond. The fact that he has a problem means that bond is still there.
So what? So you must go to him and ask for permission.
Okay. That's what we're throwing out there. What happened?
That sometimes you should
ask for permission.
How did that conversation go?
How do we practically handle it?
It's one of those awkward situations. Listen, we're talking about friends dating each other's exes.
Yeah.
Right? You go and talk. This is not a stranger.
Yeah,
this is not a stranger. We're talking about friends.
Yes.
Go and talk to your friend.
Sure.
And that's where I was saying you need wisdom. Because wisdom doesn't just say, whatever, you guys broke up. I don't care what happened. I'm taking this one. No. You have to have a discussion about it. Maybe you guys should go see the pastor.
Okay, but that's...
I just want to hear from you.
Uh-huh.
So you're saying in that situation, just disregard your friend and how he feels. And if you and that chick like each other, just go for it.
That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that I think what you guys said just now, to be honest,
mm-hmm.
like the way you interpreted that scripture is a little twisted for me. That's all I'm saying. And... but this is my personal feeling, right? I'll probably need to research it further. But I just think... I actually think that scripture is exclusively for
married.
A marriage setting, right? However...
Sorry, just to correct you there. It's not that we're saying that scripture applies, but it gives us an indication of how God views sexual
sex. Okay, cool. I can get that. I get that.
Oh, I got plenty of
Listen.
What? Got plenty of scriptures on that.
I think from a practical point of view... Right, it is necessary to have a conversation with the friend or with the person to say, "Shad, this is where we want to take things. Did you guys sleep together?" Maybe ask that first, right?
After you ask the chick, bro, why are you asking your friend?
All right. And then if the person, if they're still struggling with it, then maybe, you know, you bring in a third party, like a pastor kid. Then you say, listen, pastor, this is the story. I really want to marry this girl, but this is the situation. Then find a way to resolve it. I think it can be resolved practically. But, yeah, yes, so that's what I would do. But otherwise, I actually think, dude is gone, not the heck, it doesn't matter.
You would think it can be resolved practically, but you have to remember that you're dealing with people's emotions, and emotions are irrational. So, if you really, truly believe this is the person for you, and God has called you to be with this person, which is still a story that I side-eye, I will not, I'm sorry. Jesus needs to reveal that to everybody involved in the situation. But anyway, if you still believe that... perhaps just take a step back. If you're really, really hurting somebody, take a step back. The person's still going to be the one for you, and it's still going to be your purpose 6 months from now. It's still going to be your purpose a year from now. Unless God says, as a matter of urgency, you guys need to be together.
Yeah.
Because, you know, forget everyone else. Kingdom purpose decrees that you guys be together now. You can wait.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you're just going to end up where you don't want to be. And that's going to complicate a lot of things. Then you guys end up breaking up, and then you know what I'm saying. Anyway, I don't need to.
Well, for me, my parting words will be, you know, Paul says that it's better for those who are not married to stay as they are.
Yeah.
And then he then gives that disclaimer that if you are acting,
burning.
If you're burning, if you're acting,
Ashwin's favorite verse,
untowardly to your virgin, right? Uh-huh. Then you must marry her.
Hey, what did he mean by Anto?
He's basically saying if you feel like sleeping with her, marry her.
Okay.
So that's already a standard set that you shouldn't really even be kafufli.
Like putting everything on the guy, though.
It's on both of you, though.
Yeah, but everything's on the girl when you're like, if you marry her, you're an adulterer. So I think it's not fair.
There's a balance.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, carry on.
Yeah, so basically, yeah, to avoid all these gray areas, I think people, they just need to get relationships right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
And from what you were saying, you said something very interesting that we know what the word says.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the practical side.
Mm.
Like, in, I don't know, this is just me. Like, I've been even asking myself the same question, Guji. Are we saying God is not practical when he gives us his word? But anyway, that's another thing. Mm. But for me, my parting words would be, you're better safe than sorry. Because, like, this is life on the line stuff. Like, you could lose your life for this. Like, it's easy nowadays for us to just go on and say, you know, it's just my feelings, it's relationship. God cares that I have a good life. He wants me to actually enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
So let me do what I do. But at the end of the day, we're going to stand before him and he's going to ask us.
Yeah.
So if there's a gray area, you're better off in a safe place.
Yeah.
Like, even if people will call you extreme or you have to be that guy, mm-hmm. you're better off in a safe place because you safeguard not only yourself, but the person that you are interested in.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good, TJ. Since any, you don't have to have.
I agree with TJ.
Yeah, that was
good. Very wise words.
Yeah,
someone's been praying.
Mm. Finally, something wise.
Oh my God.
I think it's the experience.
I will not add anything onto that at all.
That may be true.
Thank you, TJ, and thank you, Zinzi, and thank you, Pastor Ken, for coming in there as well, and Cookie Monster. It's always good having you here.
Thank you.
Yep. So, yeah, guys. Thanks for listening. We hope to catch you next week. This is A Radiant Culture. Peace and love. And love thy neighbor, ne?
Love.
Treat others as you'd like to be treated. All right. Peace.
Peace.
Bye.
I'm out.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot. It's fresh. It's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.